has, too. I never saw one before. It was so beautiful.
Rebecca clears some of the grass away from headstone.
I wish you could have been there. He's a songwriter, too. I know Daddy would like that.
Roy, as the angel, dressed in white, sits Indian style next to her. He watches over her, nods in agreement. Roy, I'm sure of it. Rebecca sits down. Interior, Phil's house, kitchen, day. George moves across the room, dressed in his dirty work clothes. He stops to smell the air, notices a crock pot on the counter. George lifts the lid. A cloud of steam rises and hits him in his face. He inhales the aroma, sees a roast cooking. Mm-mm. He puts the lid back on. The sound of a sprinkler out back gets his attention. He goes toward the door. Exterior, Phil's house, backyard. A sprinkler showers the vegetable garden. George, in his work uniform, he steps outside. Irene and Phil sit in lawn chairs beneath the shade tree. George goes toward them. George.
Hey, where's Rebecca?
Irene. She's not home yet. She's working a later shift.
George proudly lifts an envelope from his shirt pocket. He opens it, removes a check from inside.
I got my first paycheck. I wanted to take her out to celebrate, maybe to a movie.
George checks his watch.
It's 5:30.
Phil motions for Irene to go into the house. Irene gets the drift. She stands, leaves. Phil pats the arm of the empty chair. Phil.
Take a load off your feet, son. You got plenty of time.
George sits down next to Phil.
So, you got your first paycheck. How are you liking that job?
It's a good one, Uncle Phil. Not too hard, and after 90 days, I'll be in the union.
Phil nods, satisfied with his answer.
Good deal.
Phil thinks for a second. He gets a serious expression on his face.
George, there's something I want to talk to you about, and I don't want you to go taking it in the wrong way.
George nods, gives Phil his undivided attention.
I noticed you and Rebecca spending a lot of time together, and I was wondering what your intentions were.
George is caught off guard. Roy appears, dressed in his usual white outfit. He leans against the tree, interested to hear what George has to say, too.
She is wonderful, Uncle Phil. I enjoy being around her.
That's it?
George smiles with embarrassment.
No, that's not it. So the cat jumped out of the bag, huh?
George chuckles.
Sheesh. The way you were talking, I thought something was wrong.
Phil's expression stays serious.
My advice to you, son, is to take it slow.
George looks confused.
What?
Rebecca's a good catch, but she's been through a lot in her lifetime.
Roy has a stern look on his face. He nods in agreement.
I don't want to see her hurt again. Make sure this is what you both want before you go wading in knee-deep.
George gets serious.
Uncle Phil, I would never.
And I wouldn't say you would. Just the same, don't go too fast.
George stares off in confusion. He looks over to Phil.
She wasn't married before, was she?
No.
A bad relationship?
Phil shakes his head no.
She didn't tell you about her kin?
George shakes his head no.
Well, I reckon you should know. There's more to Rebecca than she lets on. There's a whole lot of hurt wrapped up inside that girl.
Exterior, graveyard, flashback, day. Roy looks down at a grave. 3-year-old Rebecca stands at his side, holding his hand. Phil, voiceover.
Rebecca was just a youngin' when her mama passed from leukemia.
Roy lifts Rebecca up into his arms. Interior, house, bedroom, flashback, night. The lamp lights the bed. The blanket is turned down. Phil, voiceover.
Her daddy was a good friend of mine. He didn't have much money, but he had a lot of heart, especially for her.
Rebecca, aged 10, kneels at the foot of her bed. She presses her palms together in prayer. Phil, voiceover.
She filled him with pride.
God bless Daddy and Mommy. And God, could you tell my Mommy that I love her and I hope she's not too lonely. And God, bless you too, God. Amen.
Rebecca hops up onto the bed and scoots between the sheets. She pulls the sheets up snug around her neck and settles in. Roy leans down to Rebecca and kisses her on the head. Phil, voiceover.
She kept him going. She was his little angel.
Interior, house, living room, flashback, night. Roy and 17-year-old Rebecca sit on the sofa. They share a big bowl of popcorn as they watch television. Phil, voiceover.
Best of friends, too.
Rebecca and her father laugh together at the television program. Exterior, grassy area next to highway. Flashback, day. Looking up at a large tree with branches full of green leaves. Off-screen, cars zoom by. Phil, voiceover.
It tore her up.
Rebecca lays face down in the grass. She lifts her head, has a look around. Her father's car, the driver's side, smashed into the tree. Roy is inside his car. He's slouched over the steering wheel.
Daddy? Daddy!
Rebecca pulls herself toward the car. Exterior, grassy area next to highway. Flashback, day. Rebecca sits in the grass. Her father lays next to her. She cradles his head in her lap. Phil, voiceover.
When Roy died...
Daddy, you're gonna be all right.
Roy looks Rebecca in the eye. His eyes are filled with pain. Exterior, highway, flashback, day. A car is parked along the shoulder, empty. The male motorist, 20s, stands outside the car. He watches down the highway. An ambulance comes into view, moves closer. The motorist waves his arms, flags the ambulance. The ambulance pulls over and parks. Exterior, grassy area next to highway, flashback, day. Two male paramedics, 30s, come from the ambulance. One carries a bag of medical equipment. They rush toward Rebecca and Roy. Rebecca is weeping, rocking back and forth, cradling her father in her arms. Her father is still, lifeless. A paramedic touches Rebecca's hair. She swings at him.
Get away!
He steps back, but only for a moment. He reaches for her again. Rebecca holds tighter to her father.
You just keep away! You ain't taking him from me!
Paramedic, we're here to help. Rebecca looks into her father's lifeless eyes.
Daddy, please wake up. Oh, God. Daddy, you can't leave me!
The other paramedic stoops down to Mr. Johnson. He feels for a pulse. Rebecca searches the paramedic's face for some hope. He shakes his head. Too late. Paramedic, I'm so sorry.
No!
Rebecca breaks down, crying hysterically. She shakes her father.
Daddy!
One paramedic slides his fingers down over Roy's eyes, closes them. The other pries Rebecca from her father and lifts her away.
No!
She falls limp, faints. Exterior, Phil's house. Back to present. Day. Phil finds George sitting in the chair next to him and staring at the ground in daydream. Phil.
He died trying to make her dreams come true.
George looks to Phil with questioning eyes.
They was on their way to a singing competition in Louisville when they had their accident.
George. That's a shame. We all thought she would have won, too.
I reckon the good Lord didn't see fit for it to be.
George shakes his head, saddened by the story.
So now you know why I said to take it slow. I've known that girl since she was a young'un. And even though you're kin, I've still got to look out for her best interests. I owe Roy that much.
George nods. I understand. Phil rubs his belly and smiles, glad it's off his chest.
Now, how about some of that roast? All this talking's made me hungry.
Phil stands. He glances over at the garden. Exterior, Phil's house, vegetable garden, day. Phil plucks a couple green tomatoes from the plant.
You like fried maters?
George focuses on the tomatoes. Montage. Rebecca and George stroll hand in hand down a country road, alone. George and Rebecca run to the ticket booth of a movie theater. They stop. Kiss. George and Rebecca beneath the velvet moon. There's magic. They kiss. Exterior, Phil's house, vegetable garden, day. Rebecca bends over and reaches for a pumpkin. Super. 3 months later. Roy, voiceover.
George agreed to take things slow with Rebecca. They were getting to know each other and things were going just fine. But when things are going that good, there's usually some bad things right around the corner. And there was.
She snaps the pumpkin from its vine. The leaves and the trees are turning colors. It's fall. Exterior, fast food place, Detroit, day. A sign in the window reads, now open for business. Roy steps into view in his white suit. He looks at the building, then peeks through the window. He steps through the building. Above that sign is another that reads, the best burgers in town. Interior, fast food place, day. Roy leans against the wall. He crosses his arms, watches her. Roy.
And there's the trouble with a capital T.
Tricia stands behind the counter. She has a paper hat on her head and doesn't look very happy. Mary, a businesswoman in her 30s, stands opposite of Tricia. She stares down at the menu on the counter. There's a rather snooty, no-nonsense air about her.
Tricia. Sorry, ma'am, we don't have chicken. We only sell hamburgers. Mary. I was really in the mood for a chicken sandwich. I guess I'll have a cheeseburger with lettuce, mayo, and onion.
Tricia writes the order on a pad. The wedding rings on Trisha's left hand catches Roy's eye. His eyes open wide, impressed. Roy.
So she found someone to marry her.
Mary looks her in the eye.
You know what? Better hold the onion. I've got a meeting this afternoon.
The corners of Mary's lips turn up and form a belittling smile at Tricia. Roy enjoys this. Tricia erases what was on the pad. She begins to write again.
Lettuce, mayo, no mayo. You just said mayo. I meant no mayo.
Tricia gazes at her. She does more erasing and accidentally tears the paper. She rips the top sheet off, wads it into a ball. She begins to write on the next sheet. They have Roy's undivided attention.
On second thought.
Trisha's eyes dart around the room with impatience. She taps the pencil in her hand on the counter. Roy chuckles.
You really should get a better menu. Everything's the same.
Roy lets out a hearty belly laugh.
I guess I'll have a cheeseburger with ketchup and mustard.
Tricia looks relieved.
You sure?
Mary nods.
Okay, now, would you like some fries to go with it?
Tricia glares at Mary.
Maybe. Do you have onion rings?
Mary looks up from the menu, glares back.
I thought you had a meeting to go to.
Roy bites his lip, holding back laughter. Roy, oh, this is going to be good. Roy laughs.
Don't you get loud with me. I just asked if you had them. Do you?
Tricia fumes. She's had enough.
Of course we have them. Can't you read?
Tricia taps her pencil on the menu. Roy quiets down, continues to watch.
They're right there. See? Onion rings.
Mary looks at the menu.
Well?
Mary looks her in the eye, gives her a smug look.
You must not value your job very much.
Tricia grins through gritted teeth. Roy looks impressed. Roy, an even match?
I'll take the fries.
Tricia writes quickly on the pad.
That's it.
Mary gawks at her.
Did I ask for anything else?
Tricia lets out a half-hearted laugh. She turns away.
Listen up now. I got an order.
Mary digs through her purse.
And you better make it quick, because Miss Thinks I'm Queen is waiting.
Roy looks for Mary's reaction. She looks up in shock. Tricia glares over her shoulder at her.
Let's see if I got this right.
Tricia turns away again.
Queen hoity-toity here really wanted a chicken sandwich, but she'll take a burger with mayo, lettuce, and onion.
Mary glares at her, doesn't believe what she's hearing.
Mary, no mayo. I don't want lettuce or onion either. You know what I ordered. You wrote it down.
Tricia gives her an evil grin.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me.
Roy, looks like she's heading for a stroke or a nervous breakdown. At the grill, Scott freezes in shock. He listens with a spatula raised in his hand. Roy appears at his side. He faces him. Roy, aren't you going to do something about this?
Tricia off screen. Let's get her a cheeseburger. Slap on some ketchup and mustard and give her some fries because ding, 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 she can read. Hooray!
Scott's jaw drops. Back at the counter, Mary's face is flushed. Tricia smiles devilishly.
Mary, where's your manager?
Roy appears next to Mary. Roy, that's what I'd like to know. Tricia laughs.
There's no manager here.
Mary turns away. Roy watches her storm off.
I will be back. Keep your food. You're gonna need it in the unemployment line.
Tricia shouts after her.
Ha! That just goes to show how much you know, Queenie. You're in my court now, and I'm the only queen here.
Tricia tears the top sheet from the pad. She wads it up into a ball and throws it at her. Mary exits the building. Roy watches Scott. He looks like a shy and beaten man as he goes to Tricia. Scott, Tricia, how are you going to stay in business if you chase away the customers? Tricia throws her hat on the counter.
She made me mad.
Scott tries to reason with her. So, she was a customer.
You know what, Scott? It all boils down to respect. And my level of respect is boiling over.
She moves out from around the counter.
You don't care about me. And you certainly don't care how other people treat me either.
Scott is dumbfounded. How could you say such a thing? You know that's not true. She ignores him.
I'm tired, and I'm going home.
He watches Tricia go toward the door. In a fit of anger, he pounds his fist on the counter. Roy steps into view. Roy, no wonder George left her. Interior, Phil's house, kitchen, day. Irene stands at the sink, rinsing off some lettuce. Roy, in his signature white, stands next to her, watches what she is doing. Rebecca enters through the back door, carrying a pumpkin. Irene notices, then turns back to her lettuce. Roy notices her, too. He smiles, keeps his eye on her. Roy, George has got the right one right here. Rebecca sets the pumpkin on the counter, admires it.
It's a nice one, huh?
Irene smiles at her. Exterior, mobile home, day. Phil and George step out of a newer model mobile home. George looks nice, dressed in his cowboy hat, jeans, and black dress shirt. They pause on the porch. George,
I think I like this one the best.
He turns back to get another look inside. A beam of sunlight enters through a window and brightens the inside of the home. It's empty. Phil,
well, if your mind's set, I reckon it'd be a start.
He turns to George.
Your mind is set, isn't it?
George pulls the door closed. Exterior, Phil's house, driveway, day. Phil gets out of his parked car. George's truck pulls in behind him and parks. George gets out of the truck. He's in his work clothes. He seems excited, yet he is trying to be quiet about it. George, whispering,
Uncle Phil?
Phil focuses on George. George cups something in his hand. He goes toward Phil. Phil,
you got it?
George nods. Roy appears out of thin air. George and Phil walk toward the house. Roy follows two steps behind them. Interior, Phil's house, kitchen, day. Rebecca stands at the sink and dries dishes. George stands in the doorway, half in, half out. Phil is behind him. He peeks over George's shoulder. George.
Hey.
Rebecca faces him.
You're a little late today.
George wobbles, overdramatically, unsteady, dizzy. He reaches for his head.
I'm feeling kind of funny.
Rebecca looks concerned. Irene is setting the table for supper. She drops the silverware. She is concerned, too. Rebecca goes to George.
Are you all right?
Irene notices a slight wave from Phil. He smiles. George grabs his chest. He falls down on the floor.
I think it's my heart.
Irene inches closer. Rebecca's on her knees, leaning over top of George.
Do I need to do CPR?
She touches George's hand. He turns it over, revealing a ring box. She gasps, stumbles to her feet. Irene smiles.
Irene. Oh, you! I thought you was really hurt.
Phil laughs. Irene steps to Phil. She wraps her arms around his big belly in a hug. George kneels before Rebecca. He opens the box and shows her the ring. He takes her by the hand.
Rebecca, just like your lyrics state, you are the song in my heart. I love you, Rebecca Johnson.
Rebecca smiles.
And I love you.
Please tell me that you'll be my wife.
Rebecca nods, yes.
Irene. Oh!
Phil's smile is huge, beaming. George springs to his feet. He lifts her and spins her around in a circle. They kiss. Roy watches from the corner of the room, completely amused and happy. Roy.
It's about time.
Rebecca shows Phil and Irene her ring. Interior, Trisha's apartment, day. Trisha enters her apartment, the same apartment that she had with George. She has mail in her hand. She sets her keys on the hook, takes off her coat. She looks interested in an 8x10 envelope. Insert the address on the envelope, George Davidson, 55 2nd Street, apartment number 3, Detroit, Michigan, 48212. Insert the return address on the envelope, Harvey Wallman, President, New Sounds Music Production, 327 Main Street, Nashville, Tennessee, 37201. Trisha rips open the envelope, takes out a letter, reads.
Trisha, voiceover. Greetings from Nashville. We were forced to extend our deadline due to the large number of submissions that we received.
Trisha moves into the kitchen and sits at the table. She kicks off her shoes, continues to read. Snow falls outside the window.
We are pleased to announce that you have won second place in our contest.
Interior, Trisha's apartment, kitchen, flashback, day. Snow falls outside the window. George sits at the kitchen table, an 8x10 bubble envelope in front of him. Insert the addressed envelope, New Sounds Music Contest, 327 Main Street, Nashville, Tennessee, 37201. George drops a CD and a check into the envelope. Trisha leans over top of him.
$20? George, why don't you just take a $20 bill and throw it out the window?
George turns to face her.
I've got to give it a shot, baby. This is in Nashville. They like my kind of music there.
She turns away.
I think you're setting yourself up for another letdown.
We'll see.
He seals the envelope. End flashback. Interior, Trisha apartment, back to scene. Trisha stands. She moves toward the bedroom. She carries the letter with her. Interior, Trisha's apartment, bedroom, day. Trisha sits on the bed. She continues to read the letter.
Enclosed, you will find your second place certificate, a check for $2,500, ooh, and a recording contract. It's in your best interest that you go over the contract and contact us as soon as possible. We'll be waiting to hear from you.
Trisha sets the paper down.
Oh, my goodness.
Her jaw drops with excitement.
I always knew he'd be a star.
Trisha collects herself, then searches the envelope. She pulls out the check. She likes the looks of it. Exterior, fast food place, night. Scott steps out of the building. He's alone. No one on the street either. He turns back, locks the door. Interior, Trisha's apartment, living room, night. Scott enters the room. He looks tired from a long day's work. Trisha is asleep on the couch. He glances at her as he walks past. Interior, Trisha's apartment, bedroom, day. The room is dark, except for a sliver of light coming in from the curtains. Scott is asleep in bed, alone. Trisha's dressed. She stands next to the bed, sneaks through his pants pockets. She pulls out a wad of paper money. Scott moves around in his sleep. She takes all of the money, crams it in her purse, and sneaks out of the room. Interior, Trisha's apartment, living room, day. A suitcase in Trisha's hand. She steps out of the apartment and quietly closes the door behind her. Exterior highway, day. A Greyhound bus moves down the road. Trisha sits inside of it. She looks out of the window at the world outside. Interior, bus, continuous. Trisha is in deep thought. She nervously turns her wedding rings around and around. Interior, apartment, kitchen, day. We can tell Scott has just woken up. He's in his boxers and his hair's all messed up. He notices a note on the table. He goes to the note, lifts it, and reads. Insert note. Scott, something important has come up. My life. I've gone to make things right with George. Scott. Son of a... He throws his hand up, doesn't believe it. Interior, Phil's house, kitchen, day. Irene stands at the sink, filling the coffee pot with water, moving toward the calendar on the wall. Insert calendar, November. The first 2 weeks are X'd out. Saturday, the 29th, is enclosed inside a red heart. Interior, bridal store, day. Rebecca searches through wedding dresses on a rack for the perfect gown. She finds one. She takes it off the rack, eyes it. Interior, bridal store, dressing room, day. Rebecca stands in front of a mirror in a beautiful white wedding gown. She turns around, checks every angle for the fit. Interior, Phil's house, kitchen, night. The room is dark except for a single ray of light entering through the window. The phone is ringing. There is movement in the room. An arm reaches for the phone. It's Irene in her nightgown. She lifts the receiver to her ear.
Hello?
Intercut phone call.